And worship is not just about coming together and singing a song, but it's about focusing our heart and our mind and our emotions and our all that we have on Him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we come together and, you know, the worship begins to flow in the house, it changes my perspective. It changes my thought pattern. It brings my thoughts into captivity to Him. And I begin to focus on Him, and I begin to focus on the words that I hear in the song and the songs that come from Scripture, and it encourages my heart because I'm reminded of His goodness, I'm reminded of His faithfulness, and I'm reminded of His power and how faithful God is. And so, you know, and then He begins to sometimes speak to me even in direction, things that He wants to speak into my heart and thoughts, and He'll drop thoughts and ideas and things into my heart. And I know that my heart has become tuned to Him so that I can hear what He has to say because I've cleared some of the other clutter. Yeah. Amen. Isn't it good sometimes just to clear clutter? One of the things I've been trying to do while we've been in with either the sicknesses or the flus or the cold or the weather or the temperatures, I don't know about you guys, but we haven't been going out as much unless we have to. And so I've been clearing out a little bit of clutter. And sometimes it's a little tricky at first. Anybody, you know, some things you think, oh, I don't know if I want to part with this. And I think, I haven't seen this thing in 10 years. It's probably okay if am I the only one. no pointing fingers or, but sometimes we have to, sometimes you have to clear out clutter to make room for new things, right? Until we can rid ourselves sometimes of old things, we don't have room or space to bring new in. And I'm not just talking about in your houses. I'm talking about in our lives. I mean, sometimes we got to clear some old mindsets. We got to clear out some old habits. We got to clear out some things that just are taking up space in our minds and in our hearts that we might make room for something new or what God wants to do new in us. And I was thinking as I was in worship, it's not always so much about what we tear down as much as it is about what we build up. How many believe that God is in the building business, the building up business? And so I believe that God wants to bring some new things into our lives, but sometimes that means some old things got to go, right? Just some old clutter. There's some things that just clutter our mind, amen? Maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's bitterness, maybe it's just procrastination, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's just stinking thinking. Sometimes you got to clear that out to get some new ways, some new concepts. I love when I find a new way to do something that I was doing only better, and I learned to do it in a better way. Amen? That there's always something new and creative going on. But I'm thankful this morning for the presence of God in our life. I'm thankful for what God accomplished in this house in 2017. Amen. He was faithful to us. We've seen miracles. We've seen a lot of things take place. And we've come through a lot of things. And how many believe we're better together? So I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you've joined your heart to this place and to this house. And I'm thankful that when you joined your heart, you joined your intent, you joined your hands, you joined your finances, whatever it is that you joined to this house, that together we see the vision of what God wants to do in Word of Deliverance and in Morgan County and to the ends of the earth. I'm always blown away. I'm always amazed that how out of this place God has touched the nations of the earth, that the nations are hearing the voice of this house. And that's because of the faithfulness of you. And it's the faithfulness of what God has placed in this house. So I honor you that in coming out of last year into a new year, really all we did was add a couple more days. nothing really changed. I mean, we talked the other Sunday. It's amazing to me that we are 18 years past Y2K. Everybody remember the great scare of Y2K? And here we are 18 years later, and I laughed and said some of these kids that are here don't even know what I mean probably by Y2K. But you guys wouldn't have been born if all the predictions and the prophecies of Y2K would have come to pass. But aren't you glad that God is still on the throne? God is still King of Kings. He is still Lord of Lords. And he's still, the government is still upon his shoulders. His name is still called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And I'm so thankful that I know him who is King of Kings. And so it seems like those years have gone like that. Can we say amen? And so I'm looking forward to 2018. Some people dread New Year's, and, you know, I don't really know why. It's just really a flip of the calendar. But I'm thankful and I'm looking forward to what God wants to do in my life, in my heart, in 2018, in my family, in this church, and in my community. Anybody with me? Amen. Onward and upward. And so through the Christmas season, we've been doing a series out of Isaiah that I just quoted to you, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of his peace and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That was the prophecy of Isaiah. If I believe the prophecy of Isaiah that he says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Jesus or Emmanuel, God with us. Just as I believe that, I have to believe that the government's upon his shoulders, and I have to believe that of his government and of his peace there shall be no end. My trust is in him today, and I'm thankful for that. So last Sunday, Lynn happened to be here, and he wasn't scheduled to be here, but it just worked out. He will be with us next Sunday, so mark your calendars for that, as I said. Lynn will be speaking next Sunday here at Word of Deliverance. So we were able to dialogue a little bit on the stage and just kind of talk back and forth a little bit, the story of Simeon and Anna, and we get a lot of fun out of doing that. I don't know if you enjoyed that, but we had a blast, and so it's just kind of fun to just look at some scriptures and some different directions. And so we talked a little bit about Simeon and Anna, all the stories, all the great things that happened in that portion of Scripture. But today I want to talk to you about what wise men do. So the title of my story to guest today is Wise Men, or What Wise Men Do. How many of you know that in the story there is the story of the wise men who come to see Jesus travel from afar? How many wise men were there? Good job. We don't know. The story doesn't tell us that there were three wise men. We always say three wise men. The story doesn't tell us that. It really doesn't even tell us they came by camel. However, we assume that because they came from the east, they did. It doesn't tell us their name. It doesn't tell us how many gifts they brought. It told us the type of gifts they brought, that being gold and frankincense and myrrh. It doesn't tell us that they came to the stable. It tells us that they came to the house where the young child was. So meaning that they probably came quite a distance or a span of time from the time the shepherds came until the time that the wise men came. One of the things we have to know in the story is that when God began to speak to say that the baby had been born in a manger, he came to the shepherds who were on the hillside keeping watch over the flock, who were the lambs and the sheep that were set aside for temple worship. And when he came and he began to declare from the heavens, he said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the scripture said, and the shepherds came with haste, and they found the babe just as the heavens had told them, just as the angels had declared. I mean, there's some things you need to do with haste. When God begins to speak into your life, and when God begins to speak to you on a personal level, on a personal basis, how many know he wants you to respond to that word? He wants you to respond to what he's saying and activate and become an active participating in the word and what he's saying to you in this season. And how many know God speaks from the youngest to the oldest? Amen. God speaks to the youngest to the oldest. I can tell you times as a little girl that I remember God speaking to me just as a child. So don't take it lightly, or don't shake off the fact that God speaks to you just like he speaks to me. One of the great biggest mistakes I believe you can make, or we can make in the church, is to think that God only speaks to one person, or God will only speak to the pastor, or he only speaks to the elders, or he only speaks to the Sunday school teachers. I want to know what God is speaking to you in this time and in this season. God has purpose for your life. God has destiny. He's speaking to you. He's putting you in places where you can hear his voice. You might hear it on the radio. You might hear it in church. You might hear it from your mom and dad. You might hear it from a neighbor. But listen, because when he speaks, he's got something he wants to say. And I believe God is always speaking. I just don't believe we're always hearing what he's saying. Amen. I love that I have the teens up here with us this morning. We have a beautiful group of teenagers. And I love that God is speaking direction in their life right here, right now. I mean, no, God has put purpose in them. He has put calling on them. He has put desires. He's put talents in them that he wants to develop. He needs voices to call those talents out of them. He needs people who can encourage their dreams and their visions. How many know sometimes you got to be careful who you share your vision with? Joseph shared his vision with his brothers. It got him thrown into the pit. Find somebody who believes in your dreams, somebody who believes in your vision, and invest in that person. Not everybody that you think is for you is for you. But surround yourself with people who will hear what the heavens are saying and encourage that in you. I love when they come up and minister in the morning. It blesses my heart. It doesn't just bless the Lord. It blesses my heart when I see them be an active participant and allowing God to move and touch their hearts and them to feel the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I mean, no, you need a safe place to learn how to grow and how to flow in the giftings and the anointings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for wise men. And let me just clarify right up front, when I say wise men, I don't just mean in gender. However, I do want to direct some of the things that we're going to direct even in the month of January is directed towards our men. I am honored to have the godly men that we have in this house. Amen. I thank God for men who will stand up and be a priest in their house, will be an example to their families, that will be strong and anointed and powerful voices in this time. So I'm thankful for that. And so, as I said, Brother Lynn's minister next Sunday. We'll have our men's fellowship and the sportsman's dinner the next Sunday. We're going to have a special speaker for that. And so I want to challenge, wise men today, but I also don't want that to just be gender as in men. How many know we're the sons and daughters of God, and so I don't want to just make it just one thing. But how many know wisdom is important? Can we all say amen to that? And I pray daily for wisdom. And I also pray that God give people around me wisdom. I pray hard sometimes. Sometimes you got to pray and fast that God will give people wisdom around you. Amen. It's one thing to have knowledge, but it's another thing to have the wisdom to know how to operate in the knowledge that you have. See, I can know a whole lot of things, but if it doesn't ever go past the realm of knowledge, then it's just head knowledge. But when wisdom activates the knowledge that you have, that's when we get entrepreneurships. That's when we get deliverance. That's when we get things develop out of a thought. When we take the wisdom that we have. And how many know sometimes wisdom seems foolish in ways? But somebody has to think outside the box. And I am always amazed at when we look at a decade, or we look at a century, or we look how time has spanned and the developments we've made in that span of time, that somebody woke up and thought one day that we could do some, that we could fly an airplane, or that we could send a rocket to the moon, or that we could float a ship on the ocean. I mean, those are pretty powerful things. And I laugh when I see all the new technology that comes out in cell phones and computers and all that kind of stuff. Does anybody ever think back to Get Smart? You know, when he used to have the watch and he used to have the shoe and have, I've done lost the teens again, I'm sure. But he was, you know, Inspector Gadget. He was kind of a, you know, a form of inspection. But he had the watch, you know, that he talked into, and all of those things that we thought were so amazing, right? And now we have watches that have computers in them, and you talk into them, and they can give you a GPS, and they can do all kinds of things. I mean, no, somebody took knowledge mixed with wisdom and developed some things that have made us, even today, if Miss Jamie has opportunity, she'll upload this sermon. And before we leave church, it can be heard all over the world through our podcast. That's incredible to me. That's incredible to me, the power of technology. And so how many know wisdom is important? Knowledge is important, but wisdom is the way that we navigate knowledge, I believe. It's the way we activate the knowledge. But let me just share a couple scriptures with you this morning about some things that wise men do. But I'm going to mix Lisa up, and I'm going to go to the bottom, from the bottom up, I think. So go ahead and bring me up Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Did I give you that? Matthew 7, yeah. There we go. See, I mixed her up. I had one line, and then I go from the bottom, and I go back up. That's not the fault of the Holy Spirit or Lisa. That's me. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I mean, there's two things. Whoever hears my sayings and doeth them, I will liken him unto a what? A wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The scripture says, he whosoever heareth my words and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. See, it's not enough just to hear it, but you got to respond to it. Yeah. Who hears my words and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who what? Built his house on a solid foundation or a firm rock. Yeah. Because the fact of the matter is, storms come to both houses. How many in here have ever weathered a storm in your life? How many have ever been faced with some things? How many have felt the waves hit against your foundation or against your house? Probably all of us in here, if we're honest, more than one time. Well, how many? Well, we've had some pretty strong winds in the last little bit. And it's, you know, batten down the hatches kind of thing. I mean, it's you're praying that the foundation that you're tied to is what it's supposed to be. And he said, he that hears these words and doeth them, I'm going to liken him unto a wise man, because the storms come to both houses. But the house that is on the firm foundation, that is fastened down, that has roots, that has strongholds, that has the solid rock, that when the waves come and when the storms come, it's secure, it's firm, it's foundational. I told this story, I've told this story probably many times, but Dan and I bought a house back many years ago, just a fixer-upper. We're like those fixer-uppers on TV, only our house didn't look like their houses when they get started. And so Dan took me to look at this house, and when we walked, I don't think it had a door on the front of the house, and when we walked into the house, it had black writing on the wall that said, dead bodies in the basement. And I said, don't think I'm interested, babe. And he was like, no, no, no. He said, don't look at that, he said. Okay. let's look at the back of it that's falling off then. I don't think I'm interested. And he's like, no, that was put on later. It was not put on right. It's okay. And I said, how about the tree growing up in the middle of the front of it? We can take that tree out. He said, but look at the foundation. He said, the foundation on this house is solid. It's okay. And the roof, surprisingly enough, on the main part of the house is okay. And he said, it has kept that part of the house pretty solid. Everything you're looking at is cosmetic. I was like, well, this thing needs a makeover, so let me just tell you that. And it's going to take more than Mary Kay to fix her up. And so he's trying to tell me to look at the foundation. He's saying, look at the structure of the house. What you're looking at is where somebody else has come in and made additions to it and did not do it right. But the main part of the house is okay. Well, let's just make long story short. We bought the house, fixed it up, and that house is still standing today. And Beth and him moved in there when they got married and lived there for a while. But because a master carpenter had a different eye than I did, he saw something that looked like it was in disrepair. He said, but it's not beyond hope. It may look like it's been through the storms, but it's not beyond hope because the foundation was strong and is okay. How many know Jesus is our master carpenter? He is the solid rock on which I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for the solid rock of Christ Jesus who we stand on today. Amen. I'm thankful, you know, it was a situation back like over the holidays when we were sick and things like that. And you start getting concerned about the babies and you start worrying about those kind of things. How many know worry takes your mind to places you shouldn't go? And then you get on Facebook and you look at other things that are posted and then your mind starts going those directions. And you know, I told you a couple Sundays ago, I felt like the Lord literally spoke to me in my bed and said, Lisa, I am your Prince of Peace. And I had preached it that Sunday. And I want to tell you, just because I say it doesn't always mean I'm not faced with it. Because sometimes that very week I will live what God spoke out of my own mouth. And he said, Lisa, I am your Prince of Peace. And what I had to start saying is, I do not fear because the Prince of Peace resides in me. And I will stand on the peace of the Prince of Peace that's in my house. And how many of sometimes you got to speak to yourself? You got to talk to yourself. And you got to rely on that peace and that strength and all of those kind of things. But how many know, because ultimately when all else happens, we go back to Christ who is the firm foundation. He's all I have, but he's all I need. Amen? When you get down to it, he's really all you have, but he's all you need. And we have support and we have friends and we have all of those things. But how many know there's some times where you just got to get downright serious? Amen? And so I'm thankful for that firm foundation. And I'm thankful for the master carpenter who can see beyond disrepair and bring something out of nothing. Aren't you glad for that? So wise men, go back to Matthew chapter 2, if you will, there, Lisa. And I want to read the story of the wise men coming to see Jesus. I was going to try to do this in a series. I don't know that I'll get to do it just because of the layout of things in this month, but we'll see. We'll just try to get a lot of it in this morning. But Matthew 2, chapter 2, verse 1 through 15, I'm going to read that. And it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent him to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. There are some things that wise men do. All right? There are some things that wise men do. I want to talk about that in this portion of Scripture. One of the things that wise men do is they ask direction. Now, men get a bad rap for that. People say men don't ever ask for direction. They do, right? Wise men ask for directions. The Scripture says that when the wise men came, they asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. How many know if the heavens become our GPS system, we're in good shape. It says they saw the star in the east, and they followed the star to where the young child was. Our navigational system must be from the heavens. It must be from a higher place. How many know this morning that for centuries and many, many years, they have used the stars to navigate? Yeah. And I'm sure Jim can tell you way more about this than I, and the sextants and the northern star and the southern cross and all the different things that are in the heavens, the constellations that are used to navigate, that men have figured out many, many centuries ago how to do those things. I mean, God always puts a blueprint in the heaven of what he wants to do in the earth. Even if you go back, you know, there's a lot of things that have been distorted even about the constellations and what we call the zodiac. And there's been a lot of things that have been distorted about that, and fortune tellers and people wanting to read their fortune in the heavens and things like that. But how many know God put a blueprint in the heavens from the beginning? And there's many of the things, even in the constellations, that we can see the hand of God in and see that God has put his blueprints in the heavens. So wise men always look to the heavens for their navigational system to know what God wants to direct in their life. Wise men are proactive, not just reactive. How many know they had a plan? They had purposed in their heart. They knew what was to come, and they had purposed in their heart to come see this young child that was born King of the Jews. How many know wise men seek a king? Yeah. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, you know, people seek after a sign, or they seek after many things, but he said, I want you to seek the kingdom. What's the kingdom? It's the place where the king has dominion. The place where the king is in charge. Wise men seek the kingdom, or seek after a king who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Next thing it says, and wise men come bringing gifts and treasures. They are givers, not just takers. I mean, when the wise men come to see baby Jesus, and when they come to see the king, they didn't come empty-handed. They came with gifts. They came with treasures. They came wanting to pour it, and they came and they bowed down and they opened up their treasure chest, and when they did, they gave unto him gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh. All of those would have been very costly gifts. It doesn't tell us there was just one gift of gold, one of frankincense, one of myrrh. We don't know. It says that was the type of gifts that they gave to them. All of those gifts have significant gold representing the deity, and the myrrhs and the different things were used as embalming fluid that symbolized his death, and one was used as a light that they would light in the temple, symbolizing him being the light of the world. All of those were significant in the point that they brought him. But how many know they come bearing gifts? They didn't just come to receive from the king. They came to give to the king. And I believe this is, I preached the sermons back some time ago. Miss Eileen will remember this. But how many know sometimes we have the concept that we come to church and here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Right? I'm empty. Fill me up. And aren't you thankful for those times where you can come empty and he just fills you up? But what if we ever came with the concept or the mindset that I'm going to come full and I'm going to leave empty because I'm going to pour out everything that I've got inside of me. If God speaks to me to minister to somebody, I'm going to minister. If he wants me to pray for somebody, I'm going to pray for somebody. If he wants me to speak a word, if he wants me to sing a song, if he wants me to bring worship, I'm going to come full. And I'm going to leave empty. I'm going to come with my treasures to the house where the king is. I mean, no, we have a treasure in these earthen vessels. You have the excellency of the knowledge of the glory of God in your vessel that when we come to this house, we are anointed and appointed. You have callings and giftings and treasures in this house that we come, and if we ever come and open up our treasure chest, and if we ever start to pour it out on the king, I'm going to tell you, it's going to bust loose in this place that we can't contain it, because we have treasures, we have giftings, we have talents, and we honor him with our time, our talents, and our treasures. And that's not just what we put in the offering, and that's a very important part of that. It allows us to do what we do. But how many know there's a whole lot of treasures in us that aren't necessarily connected to our finances? I honor those who serve our children every Sunday and go down and pour into them. They don't get to come empty. They got to come full because they got a whole lot of little cups down there that need poured into. And so they pour into them. Thank you for imparting your treasures in this house and into the kingdom. Hallelujah. And honoring the king by what you do and what you give. Wise men are humbled by royalty, and they bow in his presence. Wise men are worshipers. The scripture says when they came into the house and they saw where the young child was, they fell down and worshiped him. How many know it's not belittling, it's not demeaning to worship or to cry out to God or to just give your all to Jesus? They're worshipers. They came and they bowed down. They understood royalty. They understood he was the king. They were honored in his presence and they bowed down and worshiped him. And we talked about it before. Worship doesn't just mean you have to jump up and down and run the aisles or whatever. Your worship can be silent and it can be quiet, but it can be just as powerful. Because it's the connection between you and the Lord that gives him honor, the honor of your time and your presence and your attention. I mean, what worship is, mostly a lot of it is about just giving him your attention for the moment. That's why sometimes the best worship I have is when I get in my car and turn on my CD player and it's quiet, just me and the CD, and I just let the Lord talk to me. Amen? Where your attention is just focused on him. And this day it's so hard. There's so many things that vie for our attention. The kids pulling on your skirt tail and, the phone's ringing and the computer's going off and all of the things that are distractions. How many know sometimes you can have the phone, the cell phone, the computer, the tablet, and they're all making noises at the same time, or at least at my house. My home phone, we still have a landline because we don't get great cell service, so I can have my landline going off, my cell phone, and my tablets all with instant message all hitting at the same time. How many know it's hard to focus on anything else at the moment? But worship makes our mind focus on him. Wise men looked to the heavens for direction. They saw his star and come to read those blueprints. You know, when I said about there were worshipers, I was reminded of the scripture in Luke 7, 1 through 10. And it's the scripture of the centurion who sends for Jesus and says, "My servant is sick and is nigh unto death. Will you come? Or will you send the word? Will you heal my servant?" And the disciples went to him and told him and said, "You know, God, he's a centurion. He's a good guy. You know, he's worthy of this miracle and all of that kind of stuff." And Jesus started to go to his house. And the centurion says to him, "Look, I'm not even worthy for you to come under my house. I understand authority. I understand rank. I understand how this works. I'm not worthy for you to come under my house, but I do understand authority. And I know that at the word of a king, there's power. And if you speak the word, my servant can be healed. You don't even have to come into my house, but you can speak the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus said to him, the centurion, not an Israelite, he said to him, "I haven't seen such faith, no, not in all of Israel." He said, "Go, for your servant is healed." How many of you, sometimes we got to understand authority. We got to understand the power. We got to understand there's power in the word of a king. That when the king speaks, his word is absolute. Hallelujah. And understand authority. Wise men looked to the heavens for direction. They saw his star, his constellation, have come to read heavenly blueprints. I love in the scripture when Elijah is on the mountain and he sends his servant. He said, "I need you to go." Elijah had brought the drought. He had prophesied drought and there had been no rain. But he said, Elijah bowed over and he put his head between his knees and he began to pray. And he said to the servant, "I want you to go and look. And I want you to see if you see any signs of rain." And the servant come back and he said, "I don't see nothing." He said, "Go again." He said, "But I don't see nothing." He said, "Go again. I want you to go seven times." He said, at the seventh time, when he went up the seventh time and looked, he said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. He said, "Then get yourself down, prepare your chariot, because you're about to hear the sound of abundance of rain." How many know sometimes the sign we see in the heavens might be a small one, but if you see God's hand in it, how many know God's about to bring increase and bounty into your life? Don't quit looking because you don't see anything. Keep a higher perspective. Keep looking to the heavens. Keep looking for God to do the miraculous. What he did said to the servants is, don't give up. Keep looking. And he said God began to bring an abundance of rain to his house. Wise men know the scriptures. Scripture in Timothy says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I mean, no, study is important. You put it in, you can draw it out. If you don't ever put it in, it's really hard to make a withdrawal. Or something that you've not inputted. Yeah. I mean, no, the word is what gives us faith to stand on in times of need. And we can quote the word and say, "God, I stand on your word. This is what your word says, and your word is true." It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If you study, you'll see that you've been approved by God. The word will honor you and let you know that you have been approved by God. Wise men came to see Jesus. They didn't just come for what they could get, but they come for what they could give and what they could impart and what they could share. They knew that they had treasures. It's a thought that probably the gifts that the wise men brought or what financed the kingdom or financed the ability that when Mary and Joseph were warned to flee into Egypt, that they had the means and the finances to go into Egypt and survive because of what the wise men had brought to them. Never think that your giftings or what you can give or your treasures are too small, too little, or insignificant for the kingdom. How many wise men know how to invest in the kingdom? Wise men know the importance of investing in a kingdom that's not of this world. I mean, you know, I think about, you know, the trends and things that, you know, are in the church and things like that, and there's a lot of trendy things right now, but I love the local church. I love the gathering of the saints, and I love the coming together of God's people in the house. And that's something that I think should be generational. It's something we should leave to our children. We should leave the church of tomorrow in better shape than it is today. Amen. And that takes wise men who will invest in its future to be what God wants it to be. That takes our time. That takes our talent. And that takes our treasures and our giftings to see to it that my children, your children, our grandchildren, always have a place to worship, and that place is even a greater house of worship, I pray, even than what we see in this day. I don't want it to see a dimension. I want it to be an ever-increasing gospel, an ever-increasing kingdom. Hallelujah. The scripture said there's not many noble and not many wise who are called, but aren't you thankful that wisdom comes in the calling? Wisdom comes in the calling. And so my prayer daily, Lord, is give me wisdom. Give my family wisdom. And those who surround us, Lord, that your will speak to us and help us to know your voice, that when you speak, your servant heareth and we respond to your word. And from your word, you direct and guide our steps. How many are ready for your steps to be increased and guarded and guided in this next season of our lives? That, Lord, greater things are yet to come, even in this house. Beth, come on to the keyboard. Because I believe as God gives us wisdom in our lives, I believe he can give you wisdom in your natural finances and what to do with them. I believe he can give you wisdom in ways of your health and what to do with it. I believe he can give you wisdom in your marriages and your relationships. I believe he can give you wisdom in how to raise your children, how to stir up those talents and giftings in them and help them to develop into adults that have purpose and anointing and calling in them. I believe he can give you wisdom in your jobs and in your finances and in job situations and job openings and things like that. I believe he can give us wisdom in politics. I believe he can give us wisdom in medicine. Amen? All of those are callings. All of those are anointings and giftings. We need godly men and women, wise men, wise women, to stand up and be who God's called us to be, to seek a kingdom that's not of this world, but it's eternal. Amen? Stand with me this morning. Maybe you've been seeking after things this morning. Maybe you've been praying and say, God, I need you to open some doors. Maybe you're saying, God, I need you to close some doors. I need you to direct some steps. I need you to give me clarity in the days ahead. I need to know purpose. I need to know where to go from here, what my next step is. Hallelujah. As she plays this morning, I just want you to search your heart, and I just want you to pray for wisdom today. Wisdom, what would God have speak to you in this house in this next season? What way is he directing you? What does he want to speak to you in every area of your life? Let's pray together. Lord, give me wisdom to use the knowledge that you've already given us, Lord, that you will open doors, that you will close the doors that need to be closed. Lord, that you will give us insight and understanding, Lord, and direction that we'll not blindly walk. But Father, that our steps, we know that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And Father, I thank you that you are ordering our steps. And Lord, that you're going to cause increase to come in this house. Lord, because you're going to increase the houses in this house. Hallelujah. With your blessings. Lord, with good health. Lord, with direction in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray over our children downstairs today, God. We pray over the children of this house, Lord, that you will anoint them. You will put a hedge about them. Father, you will speak into their little hearts. And Father, that you will cause them to seek after you and to know you in a personal way, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.